Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. As we are turning over to Jeremiah chapter 7, we are reminded of what the Apostle Paul would say in Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, considering the old law. The things are written aforetime were written for our learning. There are so many things that we can learn from studying the Old Testament. And so tonight, as we open up the Word of God together, our lesson will be coming from the Old Testament, coming from the book of Jeremiah chapter 7. Now, as we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 7, I want to consider, first of all, the background to the book of Jeremiah, and then we want to consider the setting of Jeremiah chapter 7, and then we're going to work through part of chapter 7, and then we'll notice some lessons that we can learn from Jeremiah chapter 7. As we think about the background to the book of Jeremiah, the northern kingdom had already been taken into captivity by the Assyrians. We see that King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had defeated the Assyrians, and now Babylon had Judah in their crosshairs. The people of God were facing very, very difficult times. The people of God had turned away from God. We see that in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 32. They had turned to a false religion. And we see here in Jeremiah chapter 7 really how corrupt the people of God had become. And so Babylon was knocking on their door. And Jeremiah was preaching to the people, asking or exhorting the people to repent of their wicked ways. If they failed to repent, they would go into captivity for 70 years. But as we look at the setting of Jeremiah chapter 7, we see that the people of God developed a false trust. And here in chapter 7, we read about that false trust. We also see, though, the Lord's response. And so as we're looking at chapter 7, we read about that false trust and the Lord's response. The Lord's response. How He responded to those who trusted in lying words. As we look at the text beginning at chapter 7, we see that God commissioned Jeremiah to go and to preach to the people. You go to the gates. You go to the gates of the temple. And you preach to the people, and we see his message in verse number 3, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this land." As you think about Jeremiah's message, again, he exhorts them to repent, to change their ways, to consider how they are living. And then in verse 4, we see the people's attitude, how they responded to Jeremiah's preaching. Now, we know from the book of Jeremiah that the people didn't like Jeremiah. They certainly didn't like what they were hearing. They didn't like Jeremiah's preaching. But this was their attitude there in verse number 4, "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." Their attitude essentially was this: we don't care what Jeremiah is saying. The people were listening to the false prophets who were saying, "Trust in the temple of the Lord." Their attitude was this: we have the temple, and therefore we are safe. Again, it doesn't matter about anything else. We have the temple, and therefore we are safe. Well, Jeremiah continues to plead with the people as you continue to look at verse number 5. "For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, and walk in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever." You can go back to verse number 3. And Jeremiah's message was very, very simple. You turn from your evil ways. You turn back to God. You seek the old paths, going back to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. And God says, "I will bless you." This is what God had always promised His people, going all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. If God's people were faithful, God promised blessings. But if the people turned their back on God, God would turn His back on them, and there would be cursings. There would be difficult times. Yet God is reaching out to His people. God is pleading to His people again to follow the old path. When you go back to Jeremiah chapter 6, essentially the people said, "We're not going to listen and we're not going to walk in the ways of the Lord." And we see why. They listened to the false prophets who said, "Just trust in the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." Jeremiah goes on to say in verse 8, "Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit you." What these prophets are saying, these false prophets are saying about the temple of the Lord, Jeremiah says, it cannot profit you. It cannot help you. It won't save you from captivity. As you look at verses 9 through 11, you may want to write down Proverbs 15, verse number 3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." You see, Jehovah saw through their hypocrisy. He saw through their hypocrisy. That's the worst thing about sin. Heaven knows it. You realize that every sin is an open scandal in heaven? God knows it. He sees it. And we see that in verse number 9. In verse number 9, "Will ye still murder?" These are things that the people were doing. "Will ye still murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not?" And now watch verse 10. "You do these things, and then you come in my presence. You come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all of these abominations. In this house which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord." Now as you look at verse number 12, you see the Lord's response to those who trusted in lying words. The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Again, verse 12, the Lord's response. And in essence, the Lord's response is this in verse number 12. "Remember Shiloh." Remember Shiloh. Look at verse number 12 with me. "But go ye now unto my place which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel." Now there's a lot of Old Testament history centered around Shiloh. This is where the tabernacle was taken in the days of Joshua. But Jeremiah is making a point. The people knew and understood exactly what Jeremiah was saying when he says, "Remember Shiloh." Whatever happened to Shiloh would happen to the people of God. Whatever happened to Shiloh would happen to Judah. And of course, as you continue to consider this Old Testament history in the book of Jeremiah, we see what happened to the people of God because they trusted in the temple of the Lord. They continued to walk in their own ways, and we see that they went into captivity for 70 years. Now as we look at Jeremiah chapter 7, what application can we make from this great chapter? Well, we see here in chapter 7 they had a false trust in the temple. My question is, can we? Can we have a false trust as members of Christ's church? Think about that. Can we have a false trust as members of the body of Christ? Now you think about the Jews that we're reading about here in Jeremiah 7. They cried out, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." You see, there may be those who say, the church of Christ, the church of Christ, the church of Christ, believing that just because they are a member of the church of Christ, thinking that they are automatically saved, just like the Jews did, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, without considering what kind of member they are, being a part of the body of Christ. It is true, if we're going to be saved, without question, we have to be a member of the body of Christ. We have to be a member of the New Testament church if we're going to go to heaven. There is absolutely no debate about that truth, that doctrine. Salvation is found in Christ and His church. And when a person obeys the gospel, they're added to the church. This is where they become a member of the church. But remember, as members of the body of Christ, it matters how we live. We must walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verse number 4. And so it is true that we must be a member of the church of Christ. We must be a faithful member of the church of Christ. Just saying that I'm a member of the church of Christ without considering how we live our lives as New Testament Christians isn't enough. And I want to show you a passage, or really a parable, that maybe will shed some light on what we're talking about this evening. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. I thought about this parable today, and it's one of those parables that really causes you to think deeply. The parable of the wheat and tares. Now, this parable is given in Matthew 13, 24 through 30, and it is explained in Matthew 13, 36 through 43. Again, the parable is given in Matthew 13, 24 through 30. And then the parable is explained in verse number 36 and following. But I want to just read verses 41 through 43. And I believe you'll see what I am talking about. Beginning at verse number 41. "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather," listen to the language, "they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." You see, as we read about these verses, we are reading about those who at one time were in the kingdom of God, but here on the day of judgment, they were cast out of the kingdom of God because of their iniquity, because of their lifestyle. We might say because of their hypocrisy. That's Jeremiah chapter 7. We see their hypocrisy. We see that they trusted in lying words, "the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." And as I said, we can do the same thing. We can say, "the church of Christ, the church of Christ, the church of Christ. I'm a member of the church of Christ, and therefore I'm automatically saved," and then I can live like a heathen. Well, God wants us to know that just because we're a member of the church of Christ doesn't mean that we're automatically saved. And we see that in this parable here in verse number 41. Now, as I stand before you tonight, I realize by the way that I'm presenting myself, standing here opening the Word of God, quoting the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, it appears that I'm striving to be a faithful child of God. But God knows my heart. God knows your heart. You see, there are plenty of people, even in the church, that will put on a good appearance that they're faithful. But they have things in their heart that aren't right. And sometimes those things are brought out. Your sins will find you out. You think about the preacher or maybe the elder of a church who's been in the church for 20 or 30 years, and then all of a sudden you find out that that man has been cheating on his wife. I'm sad to tell you that that happens. That happens in the church, and it happens all the time, and it shouldn't happen, but it does happen. And so as we think about Jeremiah chapter 7, we don't want to trust in lying words. We don't want to be the kind of Christian that just says, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, without considering the kind of member that we are. We want to be a faithful member of the church. What is the Lord's response? Kind of like Jeremiah chapter 7. What was the Lord's response to those who trusted in lying words? What is the Lord's response to those who just say, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, without considering the way that they live? What is the Lord's response? Remember Sardis. You remember the Lord's address to Sardis? Thou hast a name that thou livest, but you're dead. But the Lord would go on to say that there were those even there at Sardis, a few that hadn't defiled their garments, that were genuine and true. And so tonight's lesson is very, very simple. Let's be faithful members of the body of Christ. Let's not be a hypocrite. Let's be genuine. Let's be sincere. Let's be the real thing as we strive to please God in all that we do. Let's not just be sayers. Let's be doers of the Word. The lesson is yours. I hope tonight's lesson will encourage you to want to be faithful, to take Christianity serious. Because Jesus said if we're going to be a part of His kingdom, our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. Matthew 5, verse 20. And as we think about the Pharisees and the scribes, we see that they were pretenders. We see that they were actors. They simply went through the motions. We don't want to just go through the motions. We want to be real. And we want to serve God from the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Tonight, if we can help you, won't you please come right now as we stand.